Well, good morning, and so glad you are here, and I want to say a special welcome to all of you. Thanks for joining us here at Second Baptist Church. If you're a guest, we'd love to connect with you, whether in person or online. There's a card in the pew back in front of you. You can fill that information out, or you can go to our website, sbcr.org, and there's a button that says I'm new, and again, you can fill that out, and it's a way for us to know who's worshiping with us and here with us this morning, and so grateful that you've chosen to worship with us. Thank the Lord for the rain, right? We needed the rain, and so thank God for that. And let me share with you a few things that are happening and coming up and taking place. And so there's a lot of things that are happening. First of all, let me mention tonight, we will be having our prayer meeting tonight at 6:30 at Brenda and Dennis Wheelis's home. Now, I do need to make a correction in the bulletin under the news and notes. We apologize. We hadn't got their address switched over yet, and so I did not catch this, but they are not at 1111 Marina Road, and I'm not sure those residents would be too pleased if we all crashed their home for prayer meeting. Maybe they would love it. I don't know. They might embrace it, but we won't test that theory tonight. So they are at the Arbors. Out on Bradley Cove Road, so it is 697 Bradley Cove Road, and so if you're planning to make prayer meeting tonight, you can go to the Arbors there, and if you go around the back, I'm told it's the second home on the left, and so I'll try to be down there early and help direct traffic as needed. You can reach out to me or Brenda or Dennis, and I'm sure we can get you there. So I'd love for you to be there as we continue to pray and asking God to send revival, pray for our revival meeting, and so on and so forth. And so hope you'll join us tonight at 6:30 there at their home, okay? Also, this week, Wednesday night, we're changing up a little bit of a different outreach strategy, if you will, in preparation for the launching of our Wednesday night activities happening on the 21st. Which is a week from Wednesday. This Wednesday, the 14th, we are doing a popsicle community outreach, all right? So we're buying a bunch of popsicles, and we're making some invitations, and we're just going to go out in our community. We'll do some here. I hope that we have enough that we're going to be able to go into some other neighborhoods around the area. But here's what I encourage you to do. You may not have kids. You may not have anybody in that age bracket for Wednesday night or whatever the case is. I think this will be a fun time for us just as a church to get together, serve alongside each other. We might even let you have a popsicle along the way if you need one, all right? But we're doing it from 7 to 8:30, just in light of it's getting hot again. Or at least that's what the forecast says, and so it'll be warm. So we're going a little bit later, just so hopefully it might cool down some. And so I hope that you'll make plans come. All we're doing is handing out popsicles and invitations to the next week's launch of our Wednesday night activities. So I hope that you'll make plans. It'll be a fun time for us to come, be together, bring the family, bring yourself, bring whoever you want to bring, and we'll get out in the community and invite folks from door to door, okay? 1 week from today is Tech Sunday. We have invited college students over at Arkansas Tech to come be a part of that. We've advertised it and talked about it in different places. We expect to have a lot of students. And so here's what I need to mention to you is that we're grateful, we're excited about them coming, but it's not just we're having a meal afterwards, and so it's not just limited to college students. We want all of our folks to stay. We do need some help in some areas to help serve and provide that meal. Also, we would love for you to stay, and we're serving hamburgers and hot dogs, and so stay around and just be a friendly face to a lot of guests that we will likely have next Sunday. So make plans to be a part of that. That is next Sunday, Tech Sunday, okay? Also, later that afternoon, we've got our quarterly business meeting that will begin at 5 o'clock. We'll meet here, and so we'll begin the business meeting at 5 o'clock. Then immediately after that, we will go into, again, just one of our prayer times that we've been doing the last several Sunday nights. And so next week, we'll have that prayer time. We're just going to have it here. But then also, in addition to that, last week at one of our prayer times at Jim and Barbara's, one of the things that was mentioned just COVID robbed us of spending time together and just some time of fellowship. And so one of the things that just some of the folks there said, hey, let's have some time of just being together. And so why no time like the present? So next Sunday night, we're going to have business meeting, prayer meeting, and then ice cream fellowship afterwards, okay? So you can eat ice cream for supper, or if you want to eat supper early or not eat supper at all, just eat a lot of ice cream, that's okay with me, all right? So business meeting, prayer meeting, and then we'll go down to the fellowship hall and enjoy just some good old-fashioned ice cream, okay? So I hope you'll make plans to be here for that. 21st, Wednesday night activities kicking back off, and there's all kinds of things. We are doing an outreach on campus, ATU involvement fair. Many of you are familiar with this, and we like to try to give away gift cards and some different prizes to students as they come by, and we try to connect with them. And so if you would like to give some gift cards, $5 and $10 type gift cards are great. If you want to do something more, that's a blessing too, but even $5 and $10 ones are a great way to just welcome and be a friend to some of our college students, okay? All right, I know, that's a lot. A lot of activity, a lot of things going on, and so grateful that just the opportunities the Lord has put before us. And so now as we transition to get ready to sing to the Lord, to worship Him, to spend time in His Word, we've tried to have an intentional, focused time of our time of prayer leading into our worship, and we're going to do the same this morning. I mentioned to you last week, and we've got our 40 days of prayer, 40 days of prayer guide. There are some of those around the church. Love for you to pick one up if you haven't. They've also been posted on social media, Facebook, and so if you'd like to keep track with those are posted there, or pick up a hard copy. Well, today's is day 13, and it's 40 days of prayer. Today focuses on forgiving one another. Ephesians 4, 25 through 32 was a focus passage, but specifically verse 32 says, "And be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another just as God also forgave you in Christ." The devotional, the author focuses on that we not only are people who have been forgiven as Christians, but also ought to be Christians that are forgiving of others. And oftentimes, those who are closest to us, those that we're closest relationship with, oftentimes are the ones that can be most difficult to forgive because we see everything up close and personal. And sometimes those are the ones that we offend the most. And that often case is even happens in the church. He mentions that sometimes this is resulting in church splits and division and all that sort of thing. Is that when we get in a season or a place in our life where we struggle to forgive others, and we struggle to accept forgiveness from others. And so, a strong devotional this morning, but really just wanted to use this as our guide for prayer. This morning as we begin our time of focus and of worship. So if you want to, if you will, bow your head, close your eyes, and if you want to come pray at the altar, you are certainly welcome to do that, and would love for you to come and be a part of that. This prayer emphasis gives us a few things to pray for. First, he mentions that we would humble ourselves under the hand of God, and He would give us humility that we need in forgiveness. So would you take a moment and pray and just submit yourself to God and humble yourself before Him. Would you pray and ask God to help you to remember the cost that Jesus paid for our own forgiveness? The price that He paid so that we could experience God's forgiveness. And would you ask the Lord to help us to be a church that we would regularly confess our sins to the Lord and to one another? And then finally, would you pray and ask God to help you to have the strength to forgive others? Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you for your grace and mercy. Lord, I pray this morning that above all else we would exalt you. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for forgiveness. I pray that we would worship you both in spirit and in truth this morning. Lord, I pray where there might be bitterness and unforgiveness, God, you would give us grace to repent of that, to forgive those that we've not forgiven, and turn to you. God, help us to fix our eyes on you. I pray for a spirit of freedom this morning. Lord, we pray for your power. And I pray that when we leave this place, we know that we will have been in the presence of God this morning. Lord Jesus, we love you and praise you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. We're going to begin singing Standing on the Promises, and I'm not sure you can sing this song without standing. So please stand with us as we sing this hymn.
Promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God my Savior. Standing, standing. God. Standing on the promises that cannot fail, when the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God my Savior. Standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of Christ the Lord, bound to Him eternally by love's strong cord, overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword, standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing. I cannot fall, listening every moment to the Spirit's call, resting in my Savior as my all in all, standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing.
Amen. Are y'all awake now? Did that get you going? We should, right? When we sing about the promises of God and we look at His Word and we realize all that's afforded to us because of Jesus. Amen. Oh, that should fill us up this morning. Let's continue to sing about this God that we can have the assurance and the trust in, that He will always have our good in mind if we just place our trust in Him.
Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Perfect
submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God, my Savior, the one. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. He's been my fourth man in the fire, time after time. Born of His Spirit, washed in His blood, and what He did for me on Calvary is more than. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. Submission, all is at rest. I know the author of tomorrow's ordered my steps. This is my story, this is my song, praising my risen King and Savior all the day. God, my Savior, the one who trust in God, my Savior, the one. Every song we could ever sing, worthy of all the praise we could ever bring, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you, we live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you. Show me.
Amen. If you have your Bible, and I hope that you do, will you turn to the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 15. I have referenced that we've been praying for revival, specifically revival meeting that is coming with Evangelist Sam Moore on September 8th. And so I hope that you're not only making plans to be here, but we're going to have some different emphasis through that week. But I want to encourage you as much as I can to make plans to be here for every service. We will begin Sunday morning and then Sunday night through Wednesday night. And I'm excited. I'm looking forward to what the Lord's going to do. He's already been answering prayer in my own life and already sensing that God is doing a sense of restoration and renewal in my life. And I thank God for that. And so I hope that you are already sensing God at work in your heart and in your life. And stay faithful, stay committed to prayer. We've been talking about this season that we're in, these few weeks, talking about stacking the wood. That we can't send revival, but we can stack the wood so that when revival comes, God will have something to use. And so it's the Lord and Lord alone that sends revival. And so be faithful to pray. Be faithful to lift up one another and trust God to do what only He can. Also want to, just by way of testimony, share with you, I had the privilege to go over this morning and fall camp started for Arkansas Tech's football team. And so I had the honor and privilege to go over and be a part of chapel this morning. And we had 6 athletes that messaged me that they prayed to receive Christ this morning. And so, amen. Amen. The Lord is good. And so be praying that God will do a work. And so I'm excited about Tech Sunday next week. And so looking forward to that. Okay, 2 Chronicles chapter 15. I'm preaching this message while you're with Him. And I started last week, and there's 3 key points, if you will, to share with you. I've got through one, and so the plan is to make it through the final 2 today, Lord willing. And so this idea is that if you go with the Lord will go with you. We'll see that in the text in just a moment. Bo introduced it last week with this thought, with this initiation of going, man, where are you spiritually? Where are you at in your life? Because I believe and I sense there's a lot of folks that are weary, they're tired, and not just, I didn't sleep particularly well last night, but worn out and need rest. There is no rest. Waking up and just fatigued from all the things and seasons of life, and I believe God wants to move. God wants to work in our heart and in our life, and I believe God wants to send revival and send renewal. And I get, man, there's a lot of folks that are just weary and burdensome. Our culture, there's so many demands on us, so many things pulling at us. And I believe the Word of God has something to say to us today with regard to that. And so 2 Chronicles chapter 15, I'm going to read the first 7 verses this morning. And so if you found your place, will you stand with me in the honor of the reading of the Word of God? 2 Chronicles 15 and verse 1, and the Word of God says, "Now the Spirit of God came upon Azariah the son of Obed, and he went out to meet Asa and said to him, 'Hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you are with Him. If you seek Him, He will be found by you. But if you forsake Him, He will forsake you.' For a long time Israel has been without the true God, without a teaching priest, and without law. But when in their trouble they turned to the Lord God of Israel and sought Him, He was found by them. And in those times there was no peace to the one who went out nor to the one who came in, but great turmoil was on all the inhabitants of the land, so nation was destroyed by nation and city by city, for God troubled them with every adversity. But you, be strong, and do not let your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded." Let me pray for us. Precious Jesus, I pray that you, Spirit of God, would fall on this place. God, give me every word to say, nothing more, nothing less. I pray that lost people might repent. I pray for backsliders would be encouraged. I pray the saints would be strengthened. God, I pray for those that have come in today, God, just begging, I need relief. I need rest. I need a fresh touch from you. I pray, God, you would do just that today. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Chronicles introduces us here. If you back up in chapter 14 and then into chapter 15, we're introduced to King Asa. And Asa is one of the good kings. There's not a whole lot of those throughout the book of Kings and into Chronicles, but Asa is one of those. And so the Bible says that Asa in 14 does right. He does good in the sight of the Lord. And God uses King Asa in a special way. But then he gives him some victory early on, and Asa does some incredible things. But then in chapter 15, the prophet is raised up to deliver a message to Asa because Asa hasn't gone full strength into doing what God had called him to do. And so then this morning, I want us to look at this text together. And if you're taking notes, the main idea of the text is this: the Lord can be found if you seek after him. The Lord can be found if you seek after him. God is not playing hide and seek. He wants an intimate personal relationship with you. And even as a Christian who's been walking with the Lord for a while, the idea is that it's sweeter and sweeter day by day. It's closer and more intimate. It's fresh and it's new. And so sometimes our walk with the Lord gets stale. Sometimes our relationship with him, we know up here all the good things. We know that he's holy and righteous and good. But sometimes here, it gets a little stagnant. And so, let's talk about what it is to be with him. The question then is, are you seeking after God? Are you as passionate of knowing and discovering more of who God is in your life than you as you were the day you got saved? Well, many of us remember, and some of us it's harder because maybe we're saved as children. But for me, being saved nearly 20 years ago now, as an 18-year-old young man, I remember what God did radically changed my life, and I could not get enough. But unfortunately, things through life squanders that fire and that passion. And next thing you know, there's been seasons in my life where I'm not nearly as passionate as I once was. I'm not nearly as in pursuit of God as I once was. And so there's three truths I want us to see. And last week I shared this first one with you, so I'm going to just briefly recap and then get over to the second one. But number one, there is evidence of when God's presence is not with you. The prophet of God gives them some clear declaration that there's evidence that God is not with him. And I'm going to skip ahead here, but in verse 2 toward the end, this is the entire premise of the message. The Lord is with you while you're with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Church, let us declare today more than ever before that we're going to seek after the Lord, that we want to be a church that's with the Lord. I want to be a pastor that's with the Lord. You want to be a believer that's with the Lord. And there's evidence when that's not the case, and that's what verse 3 shows us, some of that evidence. If you notice, he says, for a long time Israel's been without the true God. That they thought they had God, but they did not. They had substitutes. They had idols while still thinking they can hold on to the one true God, and that's just not how it works. They're without the teaching priests. There were other priests there, but apparently there was not one that was teaching them and calling them to follow after the Lord. And undoubtedly, they weren't listening to whatever teaching they might have been getting. But then it says they were also without the law, and that's what will happen, man, as we get away from the Lord. Not only we have all these idols and all these things that are stealing away from our time with the Lord, we keep thinking we can hold on to the idols and hold on to the Lord. We can hold on to the distractions of the world and hold on to the Lord, but that's not how it is. And then we talked about last week, we begin to push church out. We begin to push godly people out who might challenge us and call us back to the Lord. But then next thing you know, too, we're a little bit further down the road, but we're having a little bit of devotional substitute, but we're not really feasting on the Word of God. We're not really submitting ourselves to the Word of God. And so there's evidence of getting away from the Lord. And then he highlights that there's no rest. Verse 4, they went in their trouble. They turned to the Lord. They found him. But if you go down to verses 5 and 6, you see that there's no rest. And they're continuing to battle. They're having to fight for everything they can get. That's evidence when they're without the Lord. Number 2, here's the second truth now. There's evidence of when God's presence is with you. So there's evidence when God's presence is absent. There's no true God. There's no teaching priest. There's no word of God. And there's no rest. So then what is the evidence as a prophet comes and proclaims this to him? What's the evidence then when God's presence is on a man or on a woman? Notice verse 7 and through 9. And remember, I talked about last week that the presence of the Holy Spirit, we see it operates similarly in the way that it does on a believer's life. When the Old New Testament came, the indwelling of the Spirit. So when I repent and place my faith and trust in Jesus, I now have the indwelling Spirit of God. That's why Paul writes that you are the temple of God, that the Spirit of God lives within me. But there's a difference in the indwelling of the Spirit and the filling of the Spirit. That's why Paul wrote, don't be drunk on wine, which is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. And so as a believer, yes, the Spirit that God is always with me because the indwelling of Spirit of God is always with me. But it means that I'm not always full of the Spirit. That's why he talks about the fruits of the Spirit. I'm not always joyful and kind and patient and under self-control because I have the Spirit of God living in me, but the Spirit of God isn't always filled in me because sometimes I'm full of flesh. So what we've got to learn this morning then is that as a believer, I have the indwelling of the Spirit, but what's it look like for the presence of God and the filling of the Spirit on my life? And I think that's the parallel that we see here from 2 Chronicles 15, that in the New Testament we can look back and learn. And so look at verses 7, 8, 9. Here's the contrast. But you be strong and do not let your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. And when Asa heard these words of the prophecy of Obed the prophet, he took courage and removed the abominable idols and all the land of Judah and Benjamin and from the cities which he had taken in the mountains of Ephraim, and he restored the altar of the Lord that was before the vestibule of the Lord. And then he gathered all Judah and Benjamin and those who dwelt with him in Ephraim and Manasseh and Simeon, for they had come over to him in great numbers from Israel when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. There's a transition that takes place. Azariah came and said, listen, God's going to be with you when you're with him. But if you forsake him, he'll forsake you. Asa had dipped his toe into the pool of victory, but he had not waded off in it yet. He was still tantalizing. He was still not going full strength into the pursuit of God and all that he has for him. But here I need you to see there was some evidence that they're without the Lord. They're without the teaching priest. They're without the law. They were without rest. But notice what happens when Asa determines that he's going to full on pursue the Lord and be with the Lord. Notice what happens. First, I want you to see his resolve in verse 7. He says, but you be strong. Do not let your hands go weak, for your work shall be rewarded. There has to be a sense of resolve. Listen, church folks, that man, this world is full of things that'll try to pull you away. This world is full of things that'll try to distract you from what God has called us to do and how spending time with him in pursuit of his will. But there must be some resolution to the believer going, listen, I don't care what the distractions are, I'm going to pursue the Lord. I'm going to pursue after him. I need more of him. I want more of him. There's more to God to have than what we have now. And we haven't exhausted who he is. We haven't exhausted his goodness. We've not exhausted his holiness. And there's got to be a sense of resolve. God, I want more. And I'm going to keep stacking wood and keep stacking wood until you do something special in my life. Because there's more to have. And so he says, be strong. Don't let your hands grow weak. Listen, I know some of you, maybe you're weary and you're tired and you feel like you're barely trying to limp to the finish line. But dear friend, I believe with everything of who I am is that the Spirit of God can work and move in you that you may run full strength until God calls us home. There's more to have. There's a sense of resolve. You be strong and don't let your hands grow weak. Listen to the strength that is there. And then notice verse 8. And when Asa heard these words, the prophecy of Obed the prophet, here it is, Mark underlined this, he took courage and removed the abominable idols in all the land of Judah and Benjamin from the cities, and he restored the altar of the Lord. He had courage. Listen, don't you know that some of those idols, some of those things had been up and they had been in place. And I'm sure that people were tied to them. There was some emotion to them. There were some memories that were tied to those things. But Asa knew that he could not lead the people of God the way God had called them to as long as there was temptation and there were idols in their lives. Listen, dear friends, it may be sometimes folks don't want to pray for revival. Folks don't want to pray for renewal. Folks don't want to pray that they'll get closer with the Lord, because what may happen is the Holy Spirit of God may take that holy flashlight and shine it in the deep, dark crevices of your heart and expose some idols and expose some things in your heart and your life that you're not ready to deal with. Man, I've been there. Anybody ever been there? Man, I was a young kid. I had a third-degree burn on the inside of my thigh from chicken grease. Hallelujah. That hurt. I was about 12 years old, I guess. Coach ruined my Space Jam basketball shorts, right? I know. Sad day. All right? A lot of ways, it was a sad day. I know this is tough. If you've ever experienced burn, you know this, is that there would be some ointment and some wrapping, and then there would be a periodic time you had to unwrap that thing. And I remember every now and then have to take that scrub and scrub that. Hallelujah. I don't want any more of that. I don't want any part of that. Anybody ever? Yeah. Why? I had to guard against infection. Had to get rid of some old dead cells. Why? Come on, somebody, because there should be new growth. Sometimes revival is the Holy Spirit of God taking a scrub brush and scrubbing some old dead cells and some calluses. Man, it hurts. It's painful. Why? So there can be some new growth. There can be some new victories. And you got to have courage and courage to take some things away. He removed the idols, but then he restored the altar of the Lord. He's doing a new work. So there's evidence of resolve and strength and courage. Then notice the end of verse 9. It says, they came over to him in great numbers from Israel when they saw that the Lord is God was with him. Boy, don't you want that to be testimony in your life? Don't you want, man, people to sense and to know that the hand of God was upon him, that the hand of God was upon her? Listen, not so that everybody talk about how great we are, but so that it might compel them, go, man, I don't know what they're doing. I don't know how they've done or what's happened, but I need to get with the Lord because I need the power of God on my life. There's evidence when you're walking with the Lord, when you're growing closer to him. And I want you to see this. One of the evidences of God not being with you was there was no rest. They were having to fight constantly, everything going on. I want you to notice this in verse 15. And all Judah rejoiced all at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and sought him with all their soul. And he was found by them. And look at this. And the Lord gave them rest. Mark or underline that. Circle it. And then look at the last verse of the chapter, verse 19. And there was no war until the 35th year of the reign of Asa. Listen, it doesn't mean that there's not going to be a bad doctor's report. It doesn't mean that there's not going to be some tension at work. It doesn't mean that there's not going to be some frustration within your family. And it doesn't mean, certainly, that we're going to be without conflict in every area of our life. I don't think that's the principle that we learn from this, but here is what I do believe we can learn and experience. Because we're talking about, we're pulling principles from a nation, from a king and a nation. And I think for us today, what this means is that as we walk with the Lord, we can experience genuine rest. Not alleviation from outside influence, but alleviation from turmoil within. That you can walk with the Lord and you can have a sense of incredible peace. Because He's the Prince of Peace. You can have joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. And there's more of God to have. And so there's evidence of the presence of God. Jeremiah 29:13 says, "You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord. I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord. And I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive." God wants to be found by you. We seek after Him. And then the third principle is this: there is evidence of God's presence sought by you. So there's evidence when God's presence isn't there. There's evidence when God's presence is. And now there's evidence to be seen that you are seeking after God. So what does it look like for you to seek after the Lord? Notice what he says, verses 10 through 14. "So they gathered together at Jerusalem in the third month in the 15th year of reign of Asa. And they offered to the Lord at that time 700 bulls and 7,000 sheep and from the spoil they had brought. Then they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. And whoever would not seek the Lord of Israel was to be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. Then they took an oath before the Lord with a loud voice, with shouting and trumpets and ram's horns." The first thing I think we see in what is evidence of somebody seeking after the Lord, it's worship. Notice verse 10:11. They gathered together. And by the way, notice it was together. Hey, we're in a season in a culture in our community, in our nation, of hyper individualism. It's all about me. It's all about what I enjoy, what I experience. It's all about the individual. And I know there's a lot of opinions and thoughts about the Olympics right now, and I'm not trying to be an apologist or an advocate or any of that. But one of the things that is inviting for the Olympics is that it's so much about the country. It's so much bigger than just the person and the individual achieving that. It's about the country. It's about the nation. All that, because it's about a group that's bigger than themselves. And sometimes we, even as church members, we fall victim to this. Notice that they gathered together. And we need more time together, more time of worshiping the Lord, more time of growing closer together. They worship the Lord. It says they gathered together at Jerusalem in the third month, in 15th year of Asa's reign. And verse 11, "And they offered to the Lord, and they brought sacrifices." They worshiped God. They knew they weren't where they needed to be. They needed the hand and favor of God. And so they began where they knew to begin, and that's at worship. And then notice on down in verse 12, "And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord, the God with all the God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul." You know what they did? They had a sense of resolve and commitment that I'm going to seek after God. I just wonder this morning, church, if we could commit to that. If we could just commit and say, "Hey, listen, I don't know what revival might look like. I don't know what renewal may look like. I don't know what anybody else needs, but I know that I need more of the Lord. And I'm committing today as a church member, I'm committing today as a follower of Christ that I'm going to do all that I can to stack the wood in pursuit of the Lord." It says they came together, they worshiped, and they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God with all their fathers, with all their heart and with all their soul. Man, listen, church, can't we do that? I mean, it's not saying that we're going to become this or become that. All it's the commitment is saying, I'm going to seek God with every fiber of my being. Surely, we can do that. On down to verse 14, it says, they took an oath before the Lord with a loud voice and shouting and trumpets and ram's horns. They made a commitment together. We are going to be a nation that seeks God. Dear friends, I believe anew and afresh, Second Baptist Church needs to say, we're going to be a church that seeks the presence of God, that longs after Him, that wants more of Him. But then finally, I want you to notice their commitment here. I mentioned it, referenced it in verse 8. About halfway down the verse, he says he took courage and he removed the abominable idols from all the land. Now I want you to notice verse 16. And he removed Micah, the mother of Asa, the king, from being queen mother, because she had made an obscene image. I don't know if you're following all the details here, but this is his mama. She had worship a false idol. And the Lord had worked here and so convinced Asa to lead the nation of Israel in pursuit of God that he was willing to remove some things that would be stumbling blocks. And he removed idols. He removed some things. But he also removed a person, and that was even his own mother, because she was guilty of idolatry and she would be a stumbling block to the people in their pursuit of God. And also, she would be a stumbling block to the hand of favor being upon the nation of Israel. Now, I can see, listen to me, mamas, all right? I'm not coming after you, all right? By any means. But all I want you to do is I want you to see the commitment that Asa had in pursuit of God. That he was not willing to let anybody or anything stand in the way of his oath and his commitment to pursue the Lord. And friend, I just need to remind you this morning that you and I are going to stand before the Lord alone. And nobody will be there to be an advocate for us or with us. It'll be us, except for the Lord Jesus. And so don't let anybody or anything keep you from pursuing the Lord, from spending time with Him, to finding victory in who Christ is and what He's done for us. Pursue Him. How many times have we sung, though none go with me, I still will follow. No turning back. No turning back. Dear friend, I don't know what God wants to do. I don't know what He's wanting to do in the life of our church. But this is what I know. No matter what, you could say, hey, Pastor Chris, in 6 months, in a year, these are all the things that are going to happen, all the great things and activities and so on and so forth. But if you'd say that, yeah, you're going to see this in these months or in this year or in these years, but the presence of God is not there, I pray that we would have the backbone and the resolve to say what Moses said. Moses said, if your presence doesn't go with us, we don't want to go. And dear friend, I want to ask you this morning, and it may be you're as committed to following the Lord and pursuit of Christ as you ever have been. But maybe somewhere along the way you've gotten distracted. Maybe somewhere along the way you've got so worn out. Maybe somewhere along the way you don't know what happened, but you're just not as close to the Lord. And maybe you are, but this is my invitation to you this morning. As a church member, as a believer, would you commit today as much as you ever have that by God's grace, I'm going to pursue the Lord. By God's grace, I'm going to go with Him because I want the Lord to go with me. By God's grace, I'm going to seek after God with all my heart, and I know God will be faithful and that He'll be found by me. Today, man, my hope and prayer is that we'll have folks on this altar and going, man, not that I'm in a bad spot or I'm in a bad shape or whatever it is, but I'm just going to come and anew and afresh make an oath before the Lord that Jesus, I want more of you, and by your grace, I'm going to pursue you more and as passionately as I ever have. May we make that commitment today. If you don't know Christ, surrender your heart and life to Jesus today. If you don't know Him, when I pray in a moment, I pray that you'll come and meet me at the front and say, Pastor Chris, I need to be saved. I would love to talk with you about that. But for those of us that are believers, I pray that we'll move today and make a commitment to the Lord that God, by your grace, I'm going to seek after you. I'm going to pursue you. Let's pray. Precious Jesus, we love and adore you. And God, thank you for your word. Thank you for the grace that you give us. Lord, I pray today that we would not make empty and false commitments, but God in heaven, I pray that you would have stirred our hearts, that we're going to renew our commitment to you anew and afresh, that as a church family, we're going to commit together, that we're going to pursue you with all of our heart, and that God, you be glorified through that. I pray for anybody here who doesn't know you, God, I pray that you would save them. Lord, you work in these next few moments for your glory and for your name's sake. I pray this in Jesus' name. Your main attitude of prayer, if you want to come to the front, you come and pray. If you want to come and pray for our church, that we'll be as committed to pursuing the Lord as we ever have been. Whatever God's leading in your heart, you come now.
Just like it, Lord, keep my eyes on you. Take up my cross just like it, lay down my life just like it, Lord, keep my eyes on you. No turning back, no turning back. Follow in the cross before me, the like you. I want to talk just like you. Lord, keep my eyes on you. Take up my cross just like you. Lay down my life just like you. Lord, keep my eyes on you. No turning back, no turning back, no turning back, no turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow. If I live, I'm living for you. And if I die, I'm dying for you. Whatever comes, Lord, let it be true. I'm following you. I'm following you. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow. Before me, the world behind me, no turning back.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided. Follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow turning back, no turning back.
Well, amen. Well, we have a few more items before we finish with our service today, and so I want to invite Pastor Jonathan. He's going to come and share with you for just a moment, and then I'll have some remarks after that, and we'll close out then. So, Pastor Jonathan, you come.
Thank you, Pastor Chris. Not just for the invitation up here, but thank you for the word this morning. May we, as a body of believers, continue to seek the Lord. Amen. Let's do it together. We are not meant to live this life alone. That's one of the beauties of being a part of a community of believers, that no matter what happens in our lives, we know that we have a brother or sister, more than one, in fact. They're in our corner. And I want to read something to you that I have prepared this morning, as I read this morning, one of the things that I've talked to Michelle about in the past little bit, not just this past week, but probably the past several months, we have realized just how many people are in our corner. And so
I'm here with a grateful heart this morning because I have, I can count you not only as a brother and sister, but as a friend. Second family, God has tremendously blessed Michelle, Erica, Ethan, and I with the opportunity to invest 15 years of our lives here at Second Baptist Church. You have truly been our second family. We're extremely grateful for the extraordinary amount of love and support we have received over the years. We've been given opportunities to serve in various ways that have contributed to our growth and our understanding of what it means to be a follower of Jesus and to be on mission with Him. We greatly appreciate the grace that has been afforded to us through all these opportunities. Our family has experienced many changes over the past several months, among them being Erica's graduation from ATU and her wedding, and Ethan's graduation from Russellville High School. Amidst these changes have come a stirring from the Lord and a wrestling with our future in regards to the area of ministry He desires for us to hold. While navigating this new season in our lives, an openness has developed to go wherever He would have us go. I've often told the students here at Second that we need to have our yes on the table. And you've even heard that from Pastor Chris from this pulpit. To be willing to do whatever God tells us to do. An opportunity presented itself a little over 2 months ago, and we put our yes on the table and let God lead us to wherever He desired. As the process unfolded, it became increasingly evident that His hand was leading us to explore this opportunity further. So in a desire to be obedient to Him, we went in view of a call to become a part of the ministry at First Baptist Church of Knoxville. He continued to be faithful, and the church voted to extend the call for me to become their full-time pastor, which I subsequently accepted. This morning, with a heavy heart due to the relationships we have been blessed to invest in and be a part of here, but also with a hopeful eye to what He has in store for us at First Baptist Church Knoxville, I offer my resignation as Associate Pastor of Students and Families here at Second Baptist Church, effective Sunday, August 25th, 2024. Know that our family loves you all, and you will continue to be in our prayers in Christ.
It's a it's bittersweet. It's hard because we change is always hard, and I think Pastor Jonathan and Michelle and Ethan and Erica, I think they've in my estimation have done it right in that they have poured everything of themselves into serving here at Second Baptist. And we have grown as close friends. Been an incredible honor to serve alongside this family. And so in that sense, it's a significant loss for Second Baptist because of their faithfulness to serve, to love our church family well, to love us well. You know, it's hard for us because how much they've invested in our family. And I know you could say that too. There would be a lot of testimonies around this room of how this family has loved you and served you well. One of the things that Jonathan and I have talked about over the last several years is we've looked around our area and have seen a lot of churches struggle at times in different seasons, and And we have at times dreamed about coming alongside those and trying to help and be a blessing to them. And we have at times prayed that God would give Second Baptist opportunities to do just that. We did not know that praying during those times that it might mean, I'm not sure I'd eagerly have prayed that if I'd have known this, but it might mean that God called. Sometimes when you pray about God doing things in places, sometimes He points right at you, says, okay, go get it. And undoubtedly, God has done just that with Pastor Jonathan. And He has called him to go serve one of our churches here at Knoxville, close by. And I know that church will be blessed. I'm looking forward to seeing how God uses Jonathan and Michelle and their family in the days ahead. I'm looking forward to getting to serve alongside each other in different ministry opportunities. I'm not looking forward to change. I'm not looking forward to Jonathan not just being right down the hall in an office and getting to serve alongside. We believe that God's answered prayer and God has led in this. And so just want to encourage you in this. Let me encourage you in a couple of ways. I know how hard and difficult it is to stand in this place and do what Jonathan just did. And sometimes it's hard for people to understand because of we've got to think that something bad must happen before there's change. Something significant must happen. But sometimes the Lord just does what Jonathan shared. He just begins to stir in our heart and the Lord moves us. And it's not easy. It's not pleasant in a degree. But it's certainly what, you know, you've heard him preach. I've preached of the importance of trying to follow the will of God no matter where He leads. And so I know that is he and Michelle's heart, is to just do what God has called them to do. And so let me encourage you in a few ways. First of all, let me encourage you to be faithful to pray for this family. A lot of changes, a lot of things happening. So be faithful to pray for them. Be faithful to encourage them along the way. Pray for them, not just in the next couple weeks, but continue to pray for them as they step off into a new calling, a new task of sorts of leading there at First Baptist Knoxville. Encourage one another and be faithful to be a source of encouragement one another and faithful to do what God has called us to do. I just want to encourage you in that way. We are viewing this as sending out some of our own in this. And so in 2 weeks, the 25th will be Pastor Jonathan's last Sunday and their family. And so at the end of that service, we're going to gather together and pray over them because God has called them out, and we want to come alongside and support them in sending them out to continue to do the work that God has called them to do. And so, we don't know any other way to send people out than also follow that up with a potluck meal. I mean, come on. We're going to eat in Jesus' name and laugh together and cry together and all that sort of thing. But it's just a way for us to honor them and say thank you for their time and service. Anyway, here we are. And so I need you to be faithful to pray for them, faithful to encourage them. Also need you to be faithful and trust that God is at work and doing things. It's not how that we necessarily would have dreamed or designed it, but trust that God is able to go with Pastor Jonathan and Michelle and his family, and God be at work at First Baptist Knoxville and use them in incredible ways. And at the same time, God is also able to use the difficulty of change in the season that we may be in and then the hand of God still be here. God's big enough to do both, right? And so we want to trust Him in that and ask Him to do just that, okay? So be prayerful and trust the Lord to do what only He can, okay? Jonathan, Michelle, we're going to have more time to do this, but know that, we love you guys, and sure, thank God for you, and looking forward, trying to look forward to what God's going to do and how He's going to bless you. And so with that, before I just completely lose it, let's ask our men if they'll begin to take their place to help take up the offering. Let's stand together, and I hope you'll come by and encourage this family, be a blessing to them. Again, on the 25th, we'll have a time to do that in a little bit fuller capacity.